thoughts or comments from that little exercise?
Makes me think of the one is of the Mayan cultures in Chiapas, southern Mexico, where they can't even think of themselves as not part of, you know, the whole web. You know, so you should assess through our breath, that, you know, it isn't that we have an environment, we are, you know, this is us, you know, it isn't. We've got pollution over there, and actually we're totally interacting with all of that. But even linguistically, they cannot separate. They don't have the notion that there's a subject and an object which is out there somehow. All their language, the whole grammar is structured around we are also interconnected. We all have some kind of agency. The other thing that struck me, I mean, Hans has done the same thing. We've been charging through the neighborhood, handing out pamphlets or talking to people at the doors for God's campaign. And it's amazing how much disconnect there is if you can walk from one yard to the next on pure cement. I still feel it in my legs. I was reflecting on it here because I just finished doing an hour and a half, and I'm just finished doing whatever, an hour or more of running as well. And it's amazing how disconnected actually we are. And then I went back to our own yard. I mean, it's not as tiny. That's just all this freaking tiny yards. I went to the very ritzy area. But ours is a profusion of plants and everything else, and I find way more rejuvenated, you know, even in the fall version where a lot of the plants are dying or whatever, but there's such a diversity of structures and shapes and whatever, I can start breathing again. So, anyhow.
The way that you opened your practice with the preparedness, I really like the vision of the opening windows to an amazing life. And I had the very experience you described the other day when I came from running home to get dinner to coming back to a meeting, and I walk into the building and there's this gorgeous sunset. I mean, sunsets have been my favorite for years, but this one in particular was such a deep purple that it didn't matter if I was like 2 minutes away from my meeting. What mattered that one was stopping and being and just experiencing the now with that sunset. It's
I was glad you were comfortable enough to move. As we all do.
Sure. In this
part of the proper time and space, like in Massachusetts Pain Clinic, we actually have exactly concentrated on your pain because the discovery of pain is not you, but yet they actually encourage you to go deeper into your pain, mm-hmm. you know, live with it. Mm-hmm. But of course, if you just, you know, problems we have with, and it's smart to disconnect. But that's very common, in the use of the fabulous actually for heart attack victim, anxiety victim, people with serious back injury, and it's actually very easy to contribute, but also let them go, of course.
It's interesting. I've had kind of a ridiculous schedule this last week, and yesterday morning I was supposed to go to yoga class at 9:15, but I had just gotten off a night shift at 7 o'clock. And so I went home and I slept for a little bit. My alarm went off and I hit snooze and then it went off again. And I went, okay, who wants to go to yoga? Right? And my body just went, no, I don't want to go. And that's who we're going for. So let's go back to sleep. And so other parts of me kind of went, okay, that was the one that spoke up the loudest. But then later when I woke up after sleeping, my spirit was like, I really wanted to go. And you guys didn't listen to me. So yeah, it was interesting kind of. But I mean, in other times in my life, I would have never listened to the exhaustion in my body. You know, I could hear the other part that was saying yes the loudest at that moment was my ego, because my ego was saying, no, you can do this, get up, you are going to move. And my body just said, why don't you listen to me? You know, so that was the fight.
I was very conscious of a very beautiful spirit in this room. And I was conscious of the circle, and I felt a light and this wonderful affection for each person in the room. My eyes were, I wasn't looking at you, honest, but I was very conscious of the beautiful light energy and what a vibrant and alive and safe place this is.
Mm-hmm. That exercise really helped bring home the fact that it's fall now. Like for our family, it's, you know, to go and trigger a lot of people in the summertime. You know, the sun gets up earlier, so do you, and it's go, go, go. And I've always looked forward to the fall, especially this time of year, because that's the time when you need to settle in and start going and doing some inner work and stuff. And this was good segue into that. I'm looking forward to slowing down a bit. That was nice.
One of the things I like about the body meditation, especially in the context where we're trying to help heal the environment, how many of the cycles, the unhealthy cycles in our culture, reside in ourselves, and in many ways a consumer culture tries to compete for your body, compete psychologically to tell us stories about what our body shouldn't be, what it's missing, and all of those signals and signs and stories are incorporated inside. And I think as we heal those stories that are embedded in our cells, we can't help but walk in a world that's different than the culture that is producing the kinds of ecological challenges we face. And for me, that's the perfect way of healing the earth, because it's not one where people are wrong or bad and they need to change, and it's this heavy, hopeless kind of endeavor, but it's one of where we get to open up and liberate ourselves and at the same time the world around us. Just two things, I guess, thoughts for the future about the body in general. One is How?
You know, what's
it? What's this?
There was a big thing, and it was just really distracting. Well, look, it's not me. Everyone's looking.
It's Allison.
Morse code.
Is it still going on? I can't
hear it.
Crisis averted. One is this how our thoughts are so connected to our body. So I mentioned in the meditation how different types of thought arise in different places in the body. And that's one. And then to notice how as we change our body, so for example our breathing, our thoughts can change. So you'll notice as we tune into our breathing changed, the quality of thinking changed. And there's a very dependent relationship between breath and thought. So that the door or the gateway of the body is a gateway to a contemplative life. All of contemplative life can be considered a journey through the body. The thoughts that arise within the body, traumas that are stored in the body, insights. And each of us has a unique body through which we engage in a journey of healing, of discovery, of moving through pain, not moving through pain. And rather than being something we need to change or conquer, just to develop a loving relationship. And through that relationship, which will last for the rest of our lives, in fact, that's the determinant of life is a relationship with your body. That all of the spiritual journey can be wandered, discovered, and engaged in.
Can I add something?
Mm.
I just saw a really wonderful, it was part of a YouTube video that I watched, and they said, drew attention to that stat of we only use 5% of our brains. And he's like, you know, your brain is not just this thing up here. Your brain extends throughout your entire body through the network of your nervous system and the connections between all of the different parts. And that's the 95% that we don't know how to use, really. We know very, you know, quite well how to use this part up here, but we forget about this 95%. I liked that kind of way of looking at that 5% stat.
Mm-hmm. I like the quote that you said about the quality of energy in the body has a direct relationship to the quality of thoughts in the brain. And as soon as you said that, it reminded me. I read The Summer Down in Harrison, London by George Orwell. And it's about him living in poverty. The relationship between poverty and cognitive function, and it just reminded me of how you don't have food, you don't have sleep, and you're downtrodden by society, then you have literally no positive energy store or really any caloric energy store or anything, then it's like how hard that would be to think clearly and even have the cycle of poverty. That's just what for my brain.
Absolutely.
That was when we did refugee rations. We did like that 4 days of living like a refugee. That was one of the reflections that a lot of people made, and that was just like, you know, because you're trying to go to class and trying to like engage in your work in class, and it's just like, no, your brain is like, forget about it.
Don't so much easier all around. I mean, I remember at UBC, I mean, I was relatively disciplined, and just by paying attention, you know, when you bring the energy to the class, you have questions and you engage, there isn't that much you have to do at exam time, you know, and everything was tested at UBC, you know, but it wasn't actually a big deal. I know in second year, I remember I had a lot of fun just reading a lot of extra books at exam time. So, whereas it's a vicious cycle, you know, you run yourself down, you panic about all the assignments, that you overextend, that you run yourself down further, and you just can't actually do anything. Whereas if you actually had it, you know, went for a regular walk, you know, whatever, you know, our Dell now is, you know, 2 hours of walking, one in the morning, one in the evening, you know, and her health is now starting gradually coming back. But it's partly because, you know, okay, she's down to a three-quarter load, you know, of teaching. I'm forgetting what her illness was called. Freezes up all your joints, and I'm sure she's using medicine as well, but the other is the restorative stuff, you know, so from running all the time, how can you just walk, but in the sense of gently walking, being out, out in nature, and that's, you know, amazing healing part of that way as well. And then you can attend to stuff, you know, she was the same last choir yesterday, choir practice, so my energy and my spirit and my joy is coming back, rather than just charging against, you know, everything is freezing up on her, and her whole body doesn't work. For a conductor, it's quite a pain. Especially if you conduct her first out, she isn't this kind of a conductor. Whole body conductor, so her body doesn't work.